First John, Lord willing. I'll read prayer letters to you in a minute, but let's finish up First John. I think we were First John chapter 5. But before I get started, anybody got any questions? Anything in the Bible you're reading that you got a question about? Anybody got anything? Anything right now? You got something that maybe you've been reading your Bible, you have a question about it? Anybody? All right. First John. I'm in First Peter. Let's go to First John. First John chapter 5. I know it's kind of dreary outside. I've been dreary all day and kind of rainy, but I kind of like them days, man. I kind of like them. I like them. I mean, it limits my mind on what things I can do and what I can't do. And when it's not raining outside, I got perfect weather. I'm going in 15 different directions, man. I don't know which way to do what. I was coming down the road, and I was up in Smyrna trying to find a part for Dave's bus, and I'm up there going from one place to another, and the Lord kept saying, you probably ought to get gas in your truck. And I kept looking at the gauge. I said, that gauge don't work. That thing ain't gonna work. And I kept, going and going. I stopped at Napa. I stopped at Advance Auto. I seen my buddy and Ken's buddy, Seth Richards, yeah. And he followed me around for a while and talked to me. And then when I went to shake his hand, he goes, remember, you don't shake a charismatic's hand. That was funny. That was really funny. But he had a guy with him that just got saved. And the guy told me he got saved down in Seaford, and he's supposed to come to church Sunday night. Young boy, about 19 years old. But I'm coming down the road, and I run out of gas. And I ran out of gas right there. It started pouring down, raining. I pulled over, and I sat there a little bit, and I tried to start it. And I said, Lord, I looked back in my back of my truck. I said, I ain't got no gas back there. I had some gas back there a couple of days ago, but I forgot. I put it out. So I called Josh. I said, hey, Josh, come on, bring me some gas. And I was only about a quarter mile from the Kenton store. And then when he got there, I said, just push me to the Kenton store. And he brought the 5-gallon can of gas with him. I said, but it's pouring down rain. Just push me. So he pushed me to Kenton store, and I pulled in there. And the guy, right when I was getting ready to get gas, the guy comes over. He said, this is not your lucky day. And I said, what? He said, their computers went down, and you can't get no gas. I said, it's still my day because God watched over me. I said, I got 5 gallons of gas in that other truck. Hallelujah. So the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. All right. First John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. God wants you to know some things. And he wants you to know his word. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him in a real way, that you may know that you have eternal life. How many of y'all know you're saved? How many of y'all know it? Without a doubt. You know it. That's what God wants you to know. I want y'all to pray Sunday morning. Somebody might come in here Sunday morning, don't know they're saved. And they need to, and if they are saved, they maybe they're kind of doubting their salvation. They need to get that thing settled down. You know why? If you don't have it settled in your mind, your heart, you'll never open your mouth about Jesus Christ. You got to get that thing settled. You got to get it straight in your own heart and mind. It says, these things have been written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I know I have eternal life right now. Right now. If you're saved, you got eternal life right now. Not after you're dead. Not after you're dead. I'm in time right now. I'm in time. My body's in time. But the Bible says right now I'm already seated in heavenly places. Can you imagine that? You say, I can't comprehend that. Bible says you're already, if you're saved, you're eternally saved, you're already in heaven, according to God. You say, that's crazy. Take your Bible, look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians. When God says something, brother, you can believe what he said. When he says something, he means what he says. And the Bible talks about we're already seated in heavenly places. Now, look in Ephesians chapter... I was going to say Ephesians 4. Is it Ephesians 4? Somebody help me out. Is it, huh? Chapter 2, verse 6. It says, Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together and made us all sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that when you in time past the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning, going through the doctrines of what we believe. But back in verse 6, my brother called out, it says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right now. That's not after you're dead. That's right now. You've already got a place in heaven. You already got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You already got a mansion waiting on you right now, right now. And we might be trailer trash all our life, but we'll have a mansion one day. Amen. Hallelujah. And back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. That's a great verse you need to memorize. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, you think about it. I've said this a million times in here. There's 7.5 billion people on the planet, and 10% of them may be saved, maybe. Out of those 10% that are saved, maybe 10% of them know that they have eternal life. Know it without a doubt. They can't lose it. And once you get saved, you can't lose it. So we're a minority when it comes to that. We're definitely a minority when it comes to knowing that you're saved, knowing you're going to heaven, not because you deserve it, not because we are better than somebody else. No, it's because we trusted Jesus Christ and we got God's word on it. Amen. It says verse 14, and I got talked about this last time, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, it says according to his will, he heareth us. Now, God, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it says, if we ask according to his will. And then it says, it's God's will for you to praise him. It's God's will for you to live for him. It's God. There's some things the Bible says is the will of God for your life. And a lot of people want to know the will of God. You know, I don't know what the will of God is for me and tomorrow, but I do know what the will of God is for me tomorrow. And let me explain myself. What I mean by that, I don't know what's tomorrow, what holds tomorrow, what's in the future tomorrow. I don't know, but God knows. But I know what I'm supposed to be doing by his will, what I'm supposed to be doing right now and doing tomorrow in his will. I know that I'm supposed to be praising him. I'm supposed to be living for him. I know that. I know that without a doubt. I don't know what might happen. All right, the night when our house burned up, our trailer burned up, we had a single wide trailer. I prayed, me and my wife prayed, God, give us a bigger place. And we walked around it. I walked around that day, walked around that thing. I didn't know God was going to do it that way. I didn't know he was going to burn the thing down. I didn't know we was going to lose everything we had. I didn't know that. But you know what God did? I didn't get mad at God. God gave us better things we ever had in our life. He gave them to us. The goodwill gave us stuff. I mean, people were bringing stuff to us. And then what was it? Was it the state? Somebody gave us a voucher for clothes. And my wife went down to Value City. And we got $1,400 in brand new clothes. Never had that nice of clothes in all our life. And here they gave us vouchers to go get clothes. God knows what he's doing, amen? And no matter what, it might look like a bad thing, a tragedy for you right now, but God knows what he's doing. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Are you confident in him? Can you trust him? I want to say the Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You can trust him. You can trust him with your wife, your children, your home, your everything. You can trust him with your money. You can trust him with everything. If you trust him, he'll take care of it. And what happens is we'll trust God with our salvation. We'll say, okay, God save us. We'll trust him that, but we won't trust him anywhere else in our life. We won't trust him about praying for a job or what job we should have. There's some jobs I wouldn't take and some of y'all didn't take because it'd take you away from God. There's some people that came to this church, guys, that was on fire for God. And I told them, I said, don't, man, the devil's going to try to steal your fire. And he'll try to get you messed up with a woman. He'll try to get you in a job where you take away from church. And he'll try to get you, some way he's going to try to get you. If you're trying to do what's right, he's going to try to figure out a way. And you got to have confidence in God's knowing that he's going to take care of things. And you got to say, Lord, direct my steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you say, Lord, direct my steps. God, show me which way I should go and help me not to have my own way. Help me not to do my own thing. And God will direct you if you'll ask him. You can have confidence in him. I got confidence in my Father. I get down at night and I pray for my family, pray for my children, pray for my grandchildren, pray for the church, I pray for the people. I say, God, take care of them, get a hold of hearts, and God, help us to love you. I pray that. And I got confidence knowing that he's the best security system you could ever have for your house. And a German shepherd doesn't hurt, but also having him watching over your house is a good thing. And it says, if we know that he heareth us, and we talked about this last time, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. You can put your petition in and say, God, I've got a petition before you. I'm asking you if you'll do it. And maybe the Lord said, yes, no, not now. Maybe he says, not right now. The petition is there. He knows what your desire is. And sometimes I've prayed about things, and I've seen God answer my prayer a year or two down the road. And I caught the petition was already put in. I forgot about it. And you know what? I didn't even really care much anymore about it. But he answered the petition. If you put your petition in, God, you say, I'll tell you a good thing to put in. Say, Lord, help me to love you more. Amen. Help me to trust you more. Help me that know that you're going to take care of things. And I can trust you. If you do that, I think God's well pleased with that. And you're asking God to direct you and help you and say, Lord, help me to, I wouldn't ask the Lord, say, let me have this and let me have that so I can be happy. I wouldn't do that. Because some things might make you happy a little while. But real joy comes from being in the will of God and serving him, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Bible tells us that being filled with the Holy Ghost is real joy, love, and peace come from. Now, we get our prayer life on, like brother was preaching on prayer last night. And man, he told a story about prayer. He told a story about a young man. I told Brother John Garner this today. And John called me up. John, I got to tell you this. Brother John said, hey, I went for all the tests and everything. They found out I don't have bone cancer. I don't have the infection's gone. He said, I was going around the whole hospital telling everybody God did that. Amen. God healed me. And he said, God took care of me. And he called me up rejoicing today, and he was telling me about a guy he led to the Lord. He said it was a homeless guy up in Pennsylvania. He was up in Pennsylvania. He said this homeless guy came into Arby's or something they were in. And he said, Alan, he said, look just like Buddy Cargill. He said, remember Buddy? Buddy was a big old boy, and Buddy had blonde hair, and this guy had a mohawk. And he said he came in, and John said he started witnessing to the guy, and the guy says, I'm homeless, man. And he says, are you saved? He said, no. He said, man, God ain't done nothing for me. And he started telling him how God's done all this for you, and he's taking care of you, allow you to breathe. And then finally, he said, somebody's praying for you. When he said that, the guy got all tore up. He said, my mother's praying for me. And he said, and he started telling some other things, and John got talking to the guy more. He said, tears started running down his face. And the guy got up on his knees, asked the Lord to save him in there. He said, and he got up, and he said, brother, a whole bunch of Christians was in there, and they said, well, let's take an offering for him. Let's give him an offering. So they gave him an offering, and then one of the guys said, here's the offering. It was $46. And he gave him $46. The guy goes, y'all will do that for me? And he goes, yeah, we'll do that for you. And he says, the preacher there said, I'll tell you what, let's test your faith, brother. You just got saved. He said, give me it back. And the guy goes, give it back? He said, yeah. Give it back to me. He said, okay. So he said, here it is. He said, why don't you tithe? We're going to tithe off of that. And the guy goes, do what? He said, tithe off of it. He said, it's your money. He said, no. He said, don't tithe off that. Let me tithe off the money I got in my pocket. He only had 50 cents. He said, no. He said, let's tithe off of this. He said, this is your money because we gave it to you. It's yours. So he says, I get it. That guy's going to church now. He got him a job up there just in the past 2 weeks. He was telling me about that. He was telling me about those things. I said, praise the Lord. I told him, I said, you know, Brother Gibbs told a story last night about a young man that was going to Bible college. And he said he loved the Lord. He was only 20-some years old. And he said the young man got a some sore on it inside of his mouth, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they went to it, and finally he went to the dentist, and they said, that's not you know, dentistry, any problem with dentistry. He said, you're going to have to go see your doctor. And went to see a doctor. They sent him to a specialist. They found out he had leukemia. And they said it was so advanced in his body that he was going to die. And Brother Gibbs was telling him, but this is years ago. He said, and he heard about the young man because he was friends with the family. He said he went up there. The boy got so bad that the blood was running out of the side of his mouth, out of the side of his ears, out of his nose. And he said that family was there, just all tore up. And he said, you had him rested. He said, why don't you all go home? Let me stay with him tonight. He's 22 years old, 23 years old. Let me stay with him tonight. And y'all just going home and get some rest. And they said, you sure? He goes, yeah, I'm good about staying up late. And so they left. And he said, as soon as they went out of the room, they got down the hallway. The boy said, praise God, that's what I've been praying for. I've been praying for somebody to be here that has that the nurses, he can back down the nurses and the doctors. He said, what are you talking about? He said, can you go get me a wheelchair? He said, boy, you get out of that bed, you might die. He said, I'm going to die anyway. He said, I want to witness everybody on these floors. Amen. And he said, that boy got, he finally went down there to the closet, and he started digging out a wheelchair. And he said, the nurse came up and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting a wheelchair. And he said, at that time, he was a little younger, not as heavy. And he said, I could do tricks with this wheelchair. And he said, if I tell you what I'm going to do with this wheelchair, he said, you're not going to let me do it, and I'm going to have to sue you. I'm a lawyer. And the lady says, all right, whatever you're going to do, just go ahead and do it. So she went and called the doctor. He went and got the boy, put the boy in the wheelchair, and put all his fluids on the wheelchair, took him down the hallway, and that boy went in every room. He said he had to wipe the boy's mouth, blood running out of his mouth. And he said the boy was so excited that he could talk to everybody on three floors. They did it all to 5 hours until the doctor showed up. And that boy would go in the room and he started telling people, "So I'm going to heaven. I'm going to die, and I'm going to heaven. I know it without a doubt. And I want you to go to heaven with me. Will you go to heaven with me?" And people would say, "Yes, I'll go." And he said, "Let me tell you how to get there." And he started telling. And I'm telling you, he didn't say how many people got saved, but he said a bunch. A bunch of people got saved. That boy wanted to live his last days, his last hours, praising God and telling people about Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. It says, if we know, verse 15, if we know that he heareth us, and whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for him, for them that sinneth not unto death. And there is a sin unto death, but I do not say that you shall pray for it. And the Bible talks about sinning unto death is a blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and that was only could be done when Jesus Christ was on this earth. But this thing here is something different. This is something could be in the tribulation period, could be where somebody receives or going to receive a mark of the beast. But let's take our Bible, look in Romans chapter 6. I think we looked at this last time. Romans 6, and look what it says. Romans 6 is talking to Christians. Romans 6, 23. We've covered this already, I'm sure. Romans 6, 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, sin, the Bible says sin it brings forth death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there's a sin that says a sin unto death. I believe if a child of God keeps messing around, the Lord keeps warning them, and they don't get right, then God will bring judgment on them, and it could be death. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at this. I believe this. I preached a lot of funerals, and I believe there's some people that I've preached their funerals, and I've kind of felt it in my own heart that I preached their funeral because the Lord took them home because they wouldn't do right. And they wouldn't get right and wouldn't try to stay right. And I believe that. I believe that's why it says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall give him life for them that sinneth not unto death. And there is a sin unto death, but I do not say that you should pray for it. And all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, here's the closest thing I can give you, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? It says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go over here. This is, we see this all the time. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now, when it comes down to God's temple, God's serious about it. He's serious about his temple, about keeping it clean. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, I've seen a lot of Christians, a lot of people do wrong, keep on doing wrong, and knowing better. And sometimes you see people just go on and on and on and on, and you think, why? How come God ain't doing nothing? But you don't know what God's doing. You don't know what the Lord's doing in their life. But it says, if a man see if a brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, ye shall ask, and he shall give him life for them. That's kind of giving the guy a rebuke, saying, man, you need to get right with God. And if you get under the sound of preaching, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Get a guy under preaching, or he'll get under, invite him in the church. There is a sin unto death, but I do not say that you should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not unto death. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, we know that's talking about the soul. It says, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one, check it out, that wicked one touches him not. That wicked one. What happens is a child of God gets to start messing with sin. I was reading this guy's theory. He believes, this one guy, I don't know what I believe about it, but he says this. He said, unclean spirits and devils, and this guy was saying this, I don't know if this is anything. He said, they feed on the energy of you as a child of God sinning. I was reading that just the other day. And this guy says, whenever the devil knows who you are, you've been washed in the blood, you're blown to God. But when you sin and you sin voluntarily and you do that, he said, they feed off that energy of your sin, of your rebellion. I don't know that that's true. But that's pretty wild, if it is true. So when we sin, the unclean spirits and devils feed off of that. Now, I know this. The Bible says that the devil is an accuser of the brethren, Revelation. It says he's standing before God, accusing us before God. And I said, it'd be great that he wouldn't be right. It would be great that he wasn't right about us. Because all of us sin. And then if you believe you don't have to confess your sins, that is even crazier. Because even all the way through the Bible, you even find Daniel praying and confessing his sins and for the nation of Israel. You say, that's the Old Testament. But yeah, but still, all the way through the Bible. The only way you can get clean in this flesh, my soul can't sin, but the only way you can get clean in this flesh is confess. If not, you go around and you get more wickeder and wickeder and wickeder because you don't get thing right. You just live, and then if the devil is feeding off you, I mean, he's getting a good meal. I thought about this. I thought about in Psalms 22, the Bible says Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and the unclean spirits, they were gaping upon him. They were biting on him. They're feeding on him. Woo. That's scary. When you think about that, and you say, well, I ain't got to confess my sin. I can live the way I want. I can do what I want. You better watch out. Romans 8:13, yeah. Go to James chapter 4. Go to James 4. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. How do you do that, ye sinners? Purify your hearts. How do you do that, ye double-minded? How do you do that? Humble yourself, verse 10. See, when you don't confess your sins, you're being proudful. You're being real proud. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. So that chapter talks about, fighting wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You got a battle going on. And you got that battle going. Everybody's got that battle. I mean, there's not a person sitting in this room that don't have a battle with the flesh. You got a battle. You lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. There's that same thing, asking. Lord, help me. God, help me overcome this mess. You delivered me from it. You broke the chains of sin. My flesh keeps going, wanting to go back to it. It says, you ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So, in the verse 5, it says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. So on. So let's go back to 1 John. The battle going on. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. I don't want the wicked one. I don't want him nowhere near me. He ruined my life before. And he can ruin my life again if I let him. The devil can't get your soul, but he can get your life if you let him. You got to let him. You got to say, well, I ain't going to let no preacher tell me what to do. I ain't going to listen to, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to live the way I want. And I'm going to do, and you'll find out. You'll never produce fruit. You'll never have any joy, real joy. I mean real joy down in your heart. You'll never have it. And real joy comes from God. Look at verse 19. For we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. How many of y'all can say amen to that? Amen. The whole world lieth in wickedness, man. Everywhere you turn, there's something wicked. Now, there's beautiful things in this world. We see all the beautiful things God made. But man, when man gets his hands on something, he turns it into wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. What a blessing. You need to underline that verse, man. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and have given us understanding that we may know him and that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Then the last thing, and I've got a whole bunch of verses down here talking about idols. Little children, keep yourself from idols. And the world is constantly throwing idols in your face. Wanting you to bow down to their idol. Just like Nebuchadnezzar told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down to my idol. If you don't, and you know what happens to a lot of Christian kids? They bow to the idols. A lot of Christian adults, they bow to the idols. And the Bible talks about putting the idols away out of your heart, out of your life. And idol is something that you put attention to, that you kind of, you start favoring, you start adding worship to, you start giving that attention to, and you start more wanting more of it. And go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Americans love idols. We talk about India, that India has all these idols. Buddha is an idol. All these other different idols that people have. America loves idols. And we make idols out of football players and basketball players. And, you know, I remember forget, Samson used to have Michael Jordan on the wall in his room. Big old picture with his tongue hanging sideways, you know. And he would have that thing up on the wall. I said, take that picture down, boy. He said, oh, no, Dad, I like Michael Jordan. I said, I like him too, but I don't, like, you know, you don't put a big old picture of Michael Jordan in your room. And he said, Dad, somebody gave me that picture. I don't want to throw it away. And we argued about that thing. But he's up there like this, got his, and throwing the ball down. He said, well, yeah, he could throw the ball down. Well, make an idol out of him. Look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscences, covetousness, which is what? Covetousness, wanting this, wanting that. I want that. Give me that. I got to have it. It becomes an idol, idolatry. Look in Galatians 5. All the way through your Bible. You know, they have commercials on TV. They got all these billboards. They do it to get you desire to have it. And you get to the place where you got to have it. You want it. Now, we see, you know, men, we like tools. We like cars. We like all that stuff. And it's always, you know, that thing coming at you. Always coming at you. Now look at verse 19, Galatians 5, 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Woo! Idolatry. Go to Acts 17. Go to Acts 17. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. You know, here's what bothers me. It bothers me in my own life. If I know something more about what's going on in the world, if I know more about football players than memorizing my Bible, or I know, I want to know something about everything. I really do. I try to learn something about everything other than, you know, wickedness, because I've got plenty of that in my mind and from the past. But I want to learn something about everything I can. So why? He said, so I can talk to people. If I run into somebody, and I can talk to them about the Lord. I can bring God in on it. I go in, you see guys wearing the football uniforms. I know something about the Eagles. You know, Eagles won Super Bowl. And I thank God that, I was getting ready to say, I thank God the Eagles won it. What am I saying? Well, anyway.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah. but yeah, I want to know something about it, but I'm not going to worship these guys. I like the Redskins, but I don't worship the Redskins. I don't worship that junk. And you said, well, they haven't won a Super Bowl in a while. So, but no, I don't care about that. But, man, but it's just, I want to know something about everything. Basketball, I watch basketball, hockey. I like boxing. I like fighting. All that's all I like, but I haven't kept up with it. I don't get into it so much where some people just, when the football team's playing, they wear their jerseys. I know my nephews do that. They wear the jerseys. And when the team's winning or playing, they're going to wear. I won't go that far. I just don't get into it like that. It just don't appeal to me like that. But some people get so caught up into things, and you can get so close to making an idol out of that thing. Where when it comes to church time and things about God and all that, they don't get excited no more. They get excited. It's like we was talking about visitation. People don't get excited about visitation. But we was talking about that the other day. Somebody was telling me, and they said, but you say dinner on the grounds, everybody comes. Dinner on the grounds. We're having dinner on the ground. We're going to have steak. We're going to have chicken. We're going to have this. And, man, people stay, hang around. You say, well, all right, we're going to have visitation on Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. Let's go out and knock on some doors. Oh, man, I wish you'd come. I got a lot going on. But that's the way we are. Acts chapter 17. I'll quit meddling. I'll keep going. All right. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, It was the center, Athens, Greece, of idol worship. It was the center place. Greek gods they worship. Hercules, do you know that? Hercules wasn't a real guy. It was a Greek god. You say, where did they make that up? They made it up because they wanted to compete with the Bible. Samson they made a god out of Samson. Some of the people, the Philistines did. They made a god out of him. But they wanted to compete with Samson and the Bible. So the Greeks, they had all kinds of idols and worship. They worshiped different idols. And Paul, look what it says. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, Greece, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to a whole city. America's given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the marketplaces with them that met with him, and certain philosophers of the Ukrainians, your Currians and the Stoics. Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods. So notice that, gods. Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him on to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we should know, therefore, what these things mean." And all the Athens and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing. And then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, Paul by himself, this man has some guts, brother, and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are to what? Idols will make you superstition. And for I have passed by and beheld your devotion. I found the altar which with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times thereof appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him." I like that, feel after him and find him, "though he be not far from every one of us." God's right there, brother. Amen. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto a gold, silver, or stone, graven, or art, or man's devices. In the time of his ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men that in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from hence, from among them, and howbeit certain men clave unto him, believed among that which was Diotus, the Arapachmite, I have trouble with some of these words, and a woman named Damnus, and others with them. So these people that cleaved to him, they came and they wanted to hear the word of God. But Paul got up there by himself at Corinth, at Athens, and preached the word of God. And some believed, some mocked, some made fun, and they worshiped all kinds of different idols. So the Bible tells you to abstain from idols. Don't make idols out of people. Don't make idols out of things. Don't make idols out of cars. Don't make idols out of wood, stone, all those things. Because they don't talk. They can't save you. They can't do anything for you. And people make idols out of them, bow down, worship them. You go to the Catholic Church, you see people bowing down to different idols, Saint Francis, Saint this and Saint that, and they're praying to these different saints and asking these saints to help them, lighten candles to them and all that stuff. That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. And they say, you're crazy for believing the Bible. You're crazy for praying to one God. We find out who's going to be crazy one day. And so thank God for the book. Amen. But we could cover a lot more about idols. Maybe we will next time. All right, we'll stop right there. Brother Ken, come on. Let's take a prayer request.